Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being here today. Offering is at the back or online, and we appreciate you helping us as we continue to minister. Church, this is our last week in Unmasking Satan's Strategies, Reconnaissance, looking into God's Word to learn the strategies of the one who is against us. Church, we have to understand we are in a real daily spiritual battle. Now, most of you will go, well, there's not much going on. I don't really feel it. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But I want you to know what you're seeing with your eyes is not all there is. There is a physical world, and there is a spiritual world. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, again, our battle's not against people. It's not against flesh and blood. But we are in a spiritual battle. We stand against the forces of darkness. Listen to what Paul writes right near the end of his letter to the Romans. And one of his last statements is to remind the church in Romans 6, 20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. We don't need that grace because you're going to have to walk through that, though. Now listen, church, I don't believe it's all that far in the future that he'll be crushed under our feet. But don't be deceived while we're walking toward that end that we have a very real enemy. One of his missions is to come against the people of God. That's why Peter, in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, writes these words to the church. Stay alert. Everybody say that.
Stay alert.
Yeah, in other words, be on your guard. And this is what we're going to kind of keep holding the message around today. Watch out for your great enemy. Is he just an enemy? No, he is your great enemy. He's against the work of Christ in your life. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything you have done in our lives. But Lord, help us. Help us stay alert in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, Peter says, stay alert. Say it one more time.
Stay alert.
And I'm telling you, Peter knows what he's talking about. All you got to do is trace back a little bit of Peter's life, and he realized the enemy's attacks. He knew them, and he was learning them and those strategies and beginning to work through those. I don't know if Peter ever fully worked through them, but and I don't know if you've ever will fully work through all of yours, but you need to know we need to stay alert. Jesus himself said Jesus has come to what? Steal, kill, and what? Destroy. Satan wants to steal the joy of God in your life. How many of you ever know what I'm talking about? Or he wants to kill the peace of God in your life. Or destroy the contentment of God in your life. Well, this is why we need to stay alert. When we started this series, I spent 2 weeks looking at Satan, who is the deceiver, the one who attacks our minds with lies. He twists God's word. He wants to deceive the way you perceive or look into God's word. Last week, we looked at Satan, who is the accuser, who targets your heart with accusations. This week's thought is very important. We're talking about Satan, who is the destroyer. Something I want you to understand is that Satan just does not attack when you are down and weak and vulnerable. That's when you feel it the most. But Satan will also attack you when you're strong and things are going well. I'm in church, and things are going good, and I'm worshiping, I'm listening, I'm reading the Bible. Church, that is when you need to stay alert. When you're on the alert, it's much harder for the enemy to catch you off guard. But if you relax and begin to feel like things are going great, that's when the enemy could slip in at any moment and attack you. I want to look at an Old Testament story that some of you may know, many may not know, but it's actually a time when Satan put together a very strategic attack against King David. He did not attack David, though, when he was discouraged, but instead, He was at the height of his rule in Jerusalem. David was popular. David started off, you remember, just an ordinary little, you know, shepherd boy, tending sheep. One day Samuel shows up at the house, and it was David out of eight boys of Jesse who was anointed by Samuel to be king one day. Then we read about him going one day, and the army of Israel was engaged in battle against the Philistines, and there was this big giant named Goliath, and David showed up with lunch for his brothers, and they were serving in the army, and David was wondering, why are you afraid of Goliath? David was like, God's on our side. David was alert at this moment to the Spirit of God, to the things of God, and basically said, I'll take that guy on. And it was because at this point, David was spiritually strong. He was alert to the enemy's tactics. And so David takes on Goliath and with the help of God, defeats Goliath. And suddenly, overnight, David becomes a war hero. At one point, women were making up songs about him. If you remember 1 Samuel 18:7, as they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. David became very popular, and David also, if you remember, had some rough times in his life. Anybody remember some of those? If I was to ask you, what was David's greatest sin, what would you say? How many would say it was his sin with Bathsheba, the adultery, yeah? How many would say it was actually having Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, murdered? Both were bad. But I want you to just take a step back for a moment because there was a root sin that led David to sinning the way he did. And I believe that root sin is called pride. He was king. He can do anything he wants to do. Church, pride is sometimes hard to see because it has a blinding effect to our lives. And that's where the enemy will often attack us because we can't see it. I want to take you to 1 Chronicles 21. David is 68 years old. In fact, in two more years, he's going to die at 70. But he is at the height of his career. He has been king for 38 years. Things are strong in the kingdom. David, of course, had his ups and downs in leadership, but things are settled at this point. And here's what we read in 1 Corinthians 21, verse 1. Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. Satan came at David when he was confident, when he was strong, when he was victorious, and he incited David to take a census, a count of Israel. I mean, David, listen, he's at the top of his game. He's near the end of his life. I mean, he's got the opportunity to finish strong, except for something he never completely conquered in his life, and that was his pride. And Satan comes to David and says, David, have you noticed how powerful you are? I mean, your life has been amazing. I mean, you've conquered kingdoms, and now you've got all these people under your command. You know, David, you know what I would do? I would count them, David, just so you can know how strong you are and just how powerful you are. Listen, David, did you know you're worthy of honor for what you have accomplished? That's why you ought to count the people, just to see how incredible and how worthy you are. Now, we look at a census and say, why was it wrong to count the people? Why was that wrong? In those days, you have to understand, and I really believe to this day, a man only has the right to count or number what belongs to him. And Israel did not belong to David. Israel belonged to God. Church, that's why when we take counts here, I'll be honest with you, I hardly ever really look at the count of our numbers. If we start counting numbers to try to determine how big or how strong or whatever we are, our strength does not come from numbers, it comes from the Lord. Moses was told this in Exodus 30, verse 12. Whenever you take a census of the people of Israel, Each man who is counted must pay a ransom for himself to the Lord. Then no plague will strike the people as you count them. And we find out that Moses did take a census, and each of them had to give a half shekel to the Lord. And this is known as atonement money. It was a reminder that they were redeemed by God. And so when Moses, his census goal was to give honor to God and count those who had been redeemed and brought out of bondage. But with David, the goal was to bring honor to himself. Listen to Proverbs 16, 18. Most of you have heard this scripture. You probably even quote it. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And because David got this census in his head, he was heading toward destruction and could not see it. Like it or not, church, all of us struggle with pride of some type in our life. And if you're sitting here going, no, I've conquered that, then you've got pride. Whether it's exalting yourself, promoting yourself, or justifying yourself. Pride can come from position, wealth, arrogance, and even insecurity. I believe pride can fall into one of these five categories. Pride of spirituality, pride of knowledge, pride of power, pride of appearance, or pride of ability. Do you realize all of these, they only attempt to elevate yourself, and in doing that, it reveals the true motive of pride, which says you're better than everybody else. And church, that is not part of God's heart. I'm telling you, Satan loves to attack when you're full of pride, and yet pride is disgusting to God. And so we need to guard ourselves and our hearts from this sin of pride. Paul reminds us in Philippians 2:3, he says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. I just, for clarity, I went to the Amplified Bible. It just expands it, and because of the words of meanings. If you don't understand the Amplified Bible, because we're trying to translate a word, sometimes it may have multiple meanings. So the Amplified Bible kind of throws them all in there. Well, here's the Amplified Bible in this one verse. Do nothing from factional motions, things that will tear some apart, though through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourselves. Church, I don't even know. I'm nowhere near conquering this scripture in my life. I go out and play tennis, golf. I'm better than you. I want to be better than you. That shot was, and it's just little things, and they creep in. Church, our only role in life as believers is to bring glory to God, and then to point people to Jesus so he gets glory. But when we're prideful and full of sin, then all we want is acknowledgement and glory for what we have done. That can show itself by being super spiritual. I'm being honest. Have you ever met? Come on, it happens in church. People get super spiritual. Man, you ought to hear what God told me. If God told you something, then praise God, he told you. But he told you, you don't need to tell me. If he told you to tell me, then tell me. But there's so many things that go on that create this super spirituality in people. Or proving how much knowledge we've attained, whether it's educational or whether it's biblical, whatever it be. Or asserting power we have. I've put people in ministries and volunteer ministries, and it's like, well, pastor put me there, and I'm the one. Humble yourself. Or it shows itself in emphasizing our appearance. Church, I remember going to church where everybody had to dress up, and we didn't think it was happening, but I'm telling you, there was a lot of judgmental stuff going on during those days. Look, they didn't dress well enough today. Church, it's nasty. And when that happens, we end up just like David. We'll be full of pride. And even though you don't see it, let me tell you, others can see it. The Bible tells us that Joab saw it in David. Joab was a guy very loyal to David. He was a commander of the troops. And he saw the pride in David very clearly. Listen to verse 2 and 3 of 1 Chronicles 21. So David said to Joab and the commanders of the troop, go and count the Israelites from Beersheba to Dan. Then report back to me so I may know how many there are. But Joab replied, may the Lord multiply his troops 100 times over. My lord the king, are they not all my lord's subjects? And why does my lord want to do this? Why should he bring guilt on Israel? And then down in verse 6 we read this, but Joab did not include Levi and Benjamin in the numbering because the king's command was repulsive to him. Verse 7, this man's command was also evil in the sight of God, so he punished Israel. And then later you thought the murdering of Uriah was bad. Later in this story, we find the heartbreaking story of how 70,000 people died as a direct result of David's sin of pride. Pride just kind of creeps up on us. You can't always see it coming. In fact, King Uzziah, who was a great king in the Old Testament, he couldn't see it. In fact, he did something amazing. He had this innovative war idea to defeat the enemy. In Jerusalem, he made machines. The Bible tells us about this. And they used them on the towers and on the corners to shoot arrows and hurl stones, kind of like a catapult. And because of that, King Uzziah rose in fame and power. But his pride took him out. Listen to what the scripture says. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16. After Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God. Listen, pride can take you out of leadership. It can take away your credibility. It can hurt your marriage. It can interrupt your intimacy with God. Pride can hurt your friendships. Pride can damage your witness for God. I'm telling you, pride will destroy you. Listen to what James tells us in his little book. In chapter 4, verse 1, he starts with a question. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? And listen to what he says. Because there's a spiritual warfare going on. Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? Church, there's a war that goes on within us. The spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh fights back against the spirit. And all of those desires get in a war with one another. And there are things like this. I want to love Jesus, but I want to do what I want to do. I want to obey God's word, but I love the pleasures of this world. And there it is, that battle that's going on inside every one of us every day. Listen as James continues in verse 5. He says, do you think the scriptures have no meaning? I mean, does the word of God really have authority in your life? He says, they say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. Verse 6, and he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. The word opposes there is a military term. In fact, remember the battle that's going on inside of us? So, as James writes, he brings up this military term. It says God opposes to battle against, to bring the full force of the army against. That's what he's doing. God's going to stand his ground, and he is going to battle against pride. But God then says, but he gives grace to the humble. So James writes on in verse 7, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But let me pause for a moment. The phrase humble yourself actually is one word. Or to submit yourselves, you've heard it, is another military term. Why? Because we're in a war. That phrase, humble yourselves, means to voluntarily rank under. To choose submission to the one that ranks higher than you do. Its meaning for us is this. We should say, God, I fully submit to you. I humble myself under you. And then what does the Word of God say we can do? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Church, when you submit to God, you have the power of God. Listen, when you have the presence of God over you, over your life, then you have the strength of God in your life. But it's only after you submit to God that you can resist the devil. You put yourself under God's authority, and then you get to tell the devil, get away from me. Let me just kind of illustrate it for a moment. Pastor Raymond, would you help me out? Come up here for a moment. I didn't tell you I was going to do this, did I? And just stand right here. Now, he's going to be God for a moment. Don't go to your head. Okay. But I just want you to understand. So, I'm going to position myself behind God because I'm submitting to his rank. You know, if I was in military, you submit to the rank that is above you. So, this is God, then let me tell you, where do you think God ranks? Where have you ranked him in your life? The highest. So, now listen. Who am I? I'll use Pastor Bob. You're going to get to be the enemy here for a moment. That way there's really no stereotyping going on, I hope. Yeah, just kind of stand there. Now listen. I want to be careful in my life because if I'm going to face the enemy head on, I'll be honest with you, if I'm going to face him head on, I've got pride in my life. Because I don't know what you think and who you think you are. Let's be honest. I mean, I'm really trying to get this in your head for a moment. But it's not because I can't fight them. I just need to know where my authority is. Go away. Go away. You have to go away in the name of Jesus. Church is really that simple, but it's my position because he can't even get to me because I've humbled myself. I realize it's not me. I've had people like, you know what, God, you hang on there for a moment, God, because you know what, I'm gonna bind the devil for you. And I think, I'm telling you, there's a spiritual pride in people that thinks I can bind the devil. God, I'll take care of that. You don't have to and you're not supposed to. I just position myself and let God handle it. Thank you, Pastor Raymond. Church, if we really position ourselves right, we could say, devil, you have no place here, no power here, not in my house, not in my family, not in my finances, not in the people I love. Why? Because I'm under God's authority. And when I really submit to God, truly submit, then I can tell Satan to flee. And guess what the Bible tells me he does? He flees. He flees. Not because you're strong, but because the power of God is strong in you. And it happens when your will surrenders to the will of God. But pride can destroy you. Listen, I'll tell you why. Because pride declares independence from God. I can handle this one, God. I don't want to handle any of it. The church, as followers of Christ, we have to stay dependent upon God. He is our maker. He is our salvation. He is our hope. He is our deliverer. He's everything we need. And I have to submit and humble myself under his authority. Church, there is no middle ground here. It's either all Jesus or it's all your own will. There's no middle ground. Let me take you back to week one. If you remember, Satan became so full of pride, he wanted to be like God. Do you remember that? And that's why he lost his place in heaven. Satan said again and again, I will, I will, I will. In fact, in Isaiah 14, five different times, Satan declared his sovereignty, his will. This is what he said. I will ascend to the heavens. Pride. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. Pride. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly. Pride. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. Pride. I will make myself like the Most High. Pride. But in contrast to that, Jesus was all about the glory of God. Jesus was all about thy will be done. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus knew what was ahead, that he would give his life for a ransom for all mankind, but he knew that he would suffer a brutal death. It was in the garden with drops of blood, it tells us, pouring from his brow, that he cries out to the Father asking, is there any other way? Let this cup of suffering be removed from me. But then, in submission to God, he said, I voluntarily rank myself under your will. Listen to what Paul tells us in Philippians 2. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. The heart of Jesus is humility. Not my will, your will be done. Not my plan, Father, but your plan be accomplished. It's not about me. I've come to glorify you. It's not about my importance. It's about the kingdom of God. It's not about my popularity. It's about your sovereignty. It's not about my wishes. It's about your will. Church, when you really learn to humble yourself, you will have the strength of God to live for his will. And then you get covered by the armor of God. And you get a sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to remind you and guide you and lead you and keep you in every circumstance. Because, church, you are never, ever weaker than when you're full of pride. And you are never, ever stronger than when you are humble before God. But when you submit to God, listen to what he does. He fills you with his presence. We need to learn to draw the sword of the Spirit and say things like this for 1 Peter. I will humble myself under God's mighty hand. He will lift me up in due time. Or because I am called by your name, I will humble myself and pray and seek your face. And I know heaven will hear my prayer and you will forgive my sin and you'll heal my land. Or Psalm 63, you are my God. That is submission. Earnestly I seek you. My soul longs for you in a dry and weary land because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live because your mercies endure forever. Church, we've got to learn to stay alert. Satan is a liar. He would love to destroy your walk with God. But we won't let him. Why? We will stay alert. And with God's help, we will be able to deal with the pride that's in our life. And like it or not, I will say it again, we all deal with some level or some sort of pride in our lives. Please do not let it destroy you. We need to continually submit ourselves to God. And then we can tell Satan, Satan, you have no place in my life. In fact, everybody say that with me. Satan, you have no place in my life. Say this with me. I am done. Can you put it up? I am done with Satan's deceptions and lies. I am going to learn God's word and hide it in my heart. Can you say this statement with me? I am done listening to the accusations against my life. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And one more. Would you put it? I do not want to be destroyed. I will stay alert. I will humble myself under Jesus, my Savior. He is all I need. The church, you're going to have to keep working through that so you're aware of the strategies. Be aware. Unmask them. Say, where is that really coming from? Why did I get angry? Where is all this stuff? Because I'm telling you what, you know when it's not of the Lord. The problem is it gets so stirred, it gets so hot, and just maybe you need somebody else in your life to let them point it out in you and help you. The Bible says that we are to edify one another and build each other up. But you know what? In that building process, there are some things that sometimes that you put there that need to be removed. And we need to let others speak into our lives and help us. We all need God's grace. And I don't know, maybe there's someone even today that needs Jesus to be Lord of their life. That's the starting point. Remember, he's the sinless Son of God. He came to give his life for us. He died on a cross. Then he rose 3 days later to conquer death. Church, I'm telling you, if you don't understand even religions, there is no other redeemer that is alive. Jesus is all we need, and we just need to put our faith in him. So I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. If you want to invite Jesus to be part of your life, would you just pray it with me this morning? Everybody together, just say, Heavenly Father, I surrender to you. I submit to you. Forgive me of my sins. Make me brand new. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. So fill me with your spirit. I want to follow you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So church, I just want to challenge you. You need to begin to ask God. God, first of all, would you reveal pride in my life? I want to know if it's there. Because if you're not even willing to ask the question, you've got pride. Be willing to say, God, reveal it. Secondly, God, I want you to replace it. God, I want you to remove it, I guess would really be number two. Remove it. I reveal it, remove it, and then replace it. Because the replacement is this humility that says, how many of you have ever seen a humble person? And you're like, man, that's just a good way to live. And I make a statement every once in a while. If you really are humble, you'll never be humiliated. And if you feel that humiliation in your life, then there's things to work on. And so, church, pride is so ugly. And I think every one of us, we've seen it in our kids, right? Sometimes we've seen it in ourselves, and we see it in others, and we're like, man, they don't need to act that way. Well, neither do you. So, church, let's unmask this thing and say, God, work in me. And I wish I could tell you that I've conquered it all. And I was sitting with the pastors this morning, in all honesty, I was crying because, Lord, I'm sharing this, but I'm like, man, Just things just creep up. And I don't want to be destroyed. I want to keep dealing with that stuff that wants to poke its ugly head out. Because pride is something, notice, like I said, it's all these areas. So let's just, all of us, be honest with one another, help one another, so we can grow to be who God wants us to be. Amen? Are you okay with that? Is it challenging to be that? I think it is. And I'm going to pray. I'm about to pray. I don't know if you're going to like the prayer, but it's really not for you. It's for God. So, Heavenly Father, if there is pride in this church, pride in our lives, pride in our work, pride in our knowledge, pride in our talents, Lord, whatever it is, I ask you, Lord, to awaken us to it. And Lord, help us to submit, to rank under you and say, God, I don't want that in my life. God, I don't want to do things that would displease you and cause hurt to others. So God, reveal it, remove it, and replace it with your love and your humility. I want to be like Jesus. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So that is going to be the work of the Holy Spirit in your life for the rest of your life. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, I love you, and I thank you for letting me bring the Word of God to you like this, because I do not lord it over you. I just share it with you, so we together can be the church that God has called us to be. Amen. So bless you, and I pray not just for you, but for me as well, that we would have this Jesus-filled week with the Holy Spirit speaking to us and making us more like Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you, and have a great day in Jesus. Amen.